Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
They're in the console right. of the car. I don't take them out. I just use them in the car. I take them out on Saturday. The last day that I'm going to be there, last full day, I look at them. I say to Carol, what's this stuff on the sides of the glasses? Gosh. Are they rhinestones? I bought girl glasses.
For women. Sure,
I bought that is women's ice. Glasses.
For sure.
That's women's glasses.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter. We have an audience of one today, because I don't know that anybody even knew that we were doing the show. Today is Wednesday. We're doing the show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Next Monday, we're doing a night show.
That's right, night game.
6:30 night show or so, right in anticipation of the national championship college football.
So there's
game.
No show shutdown.
No show shutdown.
Yeah, we've been funded.
No, we're good. Nancy Pelosi gave me a check the other day. We're good.
I tell you, from a traffic standpoint, I'm a big fan of the shutdown.
Yeah, it's,
thanks,
yeah.
Obama.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are selling gift cards here, and we are selling parties. Just because the holiday season is over.
Yeah, Valentine's Day coming up.
Does not mean that we can't have parties here. Your office, your business, your family. You can book parties here,
Super
and
Bowl
you can
parties.
Sell gift cards. Super Bowl parties.
Good point.
That's 8 weeks out. But yes. It's 4 weeks out. 4 weeks out. It's not 8 weeks out. Okay. So that's business.
Depends on which calendar,
technically. That's business. Gary Braun is here. Gene McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will produce, run the board, do the news. I have a few things. It's not that I want you to stop sending me things, because it's kind of you to send things, but we have so much stuff, and we try to recycle it, but not everybody wants your junk. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, we have 100 announcements.
I'm taking a
we have so much stuff. To get to, and I can't get to all of it, but thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes.
From John Cloyd, or Cloyed, C-L-O-Y-E-D, in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I saw these socks on the sidebar of some trashy website article. I knew I had to send them to you for a Chatter door prize, perhaps a present to someone you were related to by marriage. A lowly tribute of a couple of pair of cheap socks cannot begin to thank you enough for all the joy and humor you bring into the lives of all the littles. We gave those socks out.
Yes, I wonder if he was on the VPN when he was on that trashy website.
Emery from Boston, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage.
That German stuff gets kind of dark.
And I went to visit her grandmother for the holidays. Her grandmother lives in Montrose, Pennsylvania, which is about 35 minutes south of Binghamton on I-81. I know it well. We ended up staying in a hotel in Vestal, which is the actual town that Binghamton University is in, a mere stone's throw from that institution once known as Harper College. I could not pass up the opportunity to get some tribute for the show, and by that I mean tribute for Tony himself. Your affinity for all things country and nation is well known, so I decided to get you the enclosed Bearcat Country T-shirt, and I have it at home. I'll be giving this away. I took it home. It's a black T-shirt with green silhouette of New York State and Long Island, and it says on it, Bearcat Country.
Hideously beautiful.
I tried it on. It fit very well. I looked at it in the mirror and I said, I cannot wear this.
What about like for pajamas or something?
No, just a sleeping shirt? No, I cannot.
Smoking jacket?
I will be bringing it in.
Because you're too old?
It's just, I can't.
Okay.
So we'll be bringing it in. Anyway.
Game worn then. Someone's going to get a game worn.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Very nice.
Don't
get
wash it.
Get a certificate with that.
Let me get to my pet peeve for today, which is the
when
Balkans.
When people finish your sentences for you?
But that's not just for today.
No, right.
This is the bowl games. The bowl games, they're gone for me. They're gone. I watch them. I try to maintain an interest in them. But I don't care about them because I know that there's a national championship. My position now on the bowl games is, first of all, I didn't realize that they called that game in Florida, which was Alabama against Oklahoma. I didn't realize they called that the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
That's not the Orange Bowl.
And Notre Dame was the Cotton Bowl.
That's not the Cotton Bowl, and that's not the Orange Bowl. Those are the college football semifinals, and then you get to the final game wherever it's played. That was not the Orange Bowl, and that was not the Cotton Bowl. These bowls exist only to fill and line the pockets of the bowl committees. They have no place anymore. I said the other day, I don't really care if we go to 8 teams, you know, instead of 4 teams. But now, after watching the games last night, watching the LSU game, which was some sort of bowl, watching the Georgia game, Texas, which was some
bowl,
sort of bowl,
yeah.
and watching the Rose Bowl, which I knew was the Rose Bowl, I now thought, you know what? You should have eight teams, and you should have the four major bowls, which were the major bowls for all time, which is the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Cotton Bowl. Not the Fiesta Bowl, not the Citrus Bowl. Those four were the four majors for 60 years.
Not the Beefo Brady Bowl?
Not
no.
the Weed Whacker.
Those not the Tech Slayer.
Those should be part of the rotation. That's what it should be. Because these bowl games, I don't know, did you feel that? I had no compelling interest in them.
The only reason I was interested, because I wanted to see, did Georgia have a case?
Well,
did Central Florida have a case?
No.
And the answer is no, they did not.
No,
and so to
no.
me, they became more and more meaningless.
That's a good point. I think I take the sort of perverse point of view on Central Florida. I'm glad they got beat. I'm glad a third or fourth place team in the SEC West,
right.
LSU, beat them. And I'm glad because what I want to say to them is take your championship rings and stick them. If you want to play for the championship with the single largest university in the country in terms of student enrollment in a single campus, 61,000 at Central Florida,
wow.
then join the ACC.
Right.
Join a real conference. Go ahead and compete, and then you can play your way in. So I'm glad they lost. The Rose Bowl game, I'm sick of Urban Meyer, a man
really?
Devoid of character.
This is something new.
A public liar devoid of character. I don't care about the glorification of Urban Meyer. He's a great football coach. He's yeah. a whole – I'm not arguing that. Of course he's a great football coach. He has no character. So the glorification of him on television doesn't interest me at all. What interested me, actually, was that in the two games that I sort of paid attention to, I couldn't stay up to the end of the Georgia game, the teams that were down by three touchdowns, they came back.
Yeah.
They had onside kick opportunities.
The Huskies were surprising.
Yeah, they
the
had onside
half,
kick
yeah.
opportunities. What,
well,
that is part of my rant. I have another part of the rant.
You have, I think you have very succinctly stated my feeling. I have felt... For some reason, this bowl season in particular to me has just felt like just nothing. I mean, there's no interest in it. And I have not been a huge proponent of expand the playoffs, and especially the way the first round of this playoffs went.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
35-0.
Yeah, but those games felt like they mattered. And none of these games mattered at all. I'll say this to your point, Gene, about Georgia. Had Georgia been playing in a, and I don't know how you would do a 16, but if Georgia was playing in a playoff game that mattered, and I'm not saying they have any case with three losses, they don't, but you probably would have seen a different Georgia team. I mean, they just seem completely not
Texas
ready.
Texas lost to Maryland.
I know
they
that.
Lost to Maryland.
That is hard to believe. Talk about how long that season is.
And Tom Herman must be pretty good.
Team that lost to Maryland and not beating
them
Georgia.
I laughed at him the first game, but
But I think it's like, it's just, there's no reason to watch any of these games. Now, for a team like Texas, apparently that getting back to that 10-win mark was maybe a huge motivating factor. I mean, Texas looked great and energized by the win, and maybe that helps launch a program. So from inside of a program, certainly they're meaningful. But from a fan standpoint, there's nothing.
Well, the other thing, too, is that you have Alabama and Clemson sitting, these behemoths sitting at the top.
They're better.
And it's like no matter what these other teams do, that's what's going to count, that game. And as long as those two teams are so dominant, I can't see any of these other games.
There was some good game. I mean,
there
was the Northwestern.
A lot of football. We'll get to that later in the show. There was a lot of good football, and I usually like it. I could not give my heart to it because I knew that it didn't really matter. It didn't really matter.
So part of the problem is it's interesting. You're looking at this top down from the top named bowl games and the top tier teams and then seeing the trickle down effects. I'm looking at it from the other angle, which is, how many weeks have we had these games going on now? And what does it mean when you have that nothing named bowl where it really is just so that...
The bad boy mower Gasparilla
bowl? So it's for the boosters, it's for the alumni association, it's for recruiting purposes. Everyone's making money, except you're just being coerced or tricked into watching nothing on TV. And what is the effect 2 to 3 weeks later when you're seeing those behemoths and there is no draw?
I think I'm wondering... And we'll talk about this closer to it. I'm wondering if America, not in great numbers, but will turn away a little bit from Clemson and Alabama, thinking it's a regional game.
No, I don't think so.
I think that's part of the problem with me for yesterday is you spend this emotional energy as a fan on those actual playoff games, and then you come back New Year's Day, and it's sort of like, oh yeah, there's more football. I forgot about that. But it's like the Pro Bowl.
They need to play these. You cannot have any games after the semifinals. You need to schedule this so the semifinals are today, and then next week is the final.
This is the NFL playing the Pro Bowl between the conference championship and the Super
Don't
Bowl.
Don't do this. Don't do it. Get rid of all the other games and then play your semifinals.
Did you see the fracas before the Georgia-Texas game?
That was the highlight.
Wow. With Bevo,
Bevo and Uga.
Yeah, apparently they were bringing Uga, the bulldog, the English bulldog, over there to sort of do a face-to-face.
Well, what could go wrong?
And all of a sudden,
with
Bevo,
a 40,000-pound animal.
Bevo said, yeah, you want to beat some meat?
With sharpened horns.
Oh, yeah. That's a bit. It's like 1,500 pounds.
He wanted to that dog.
Yeah, I think it's 1,700 pounds versus 62.
So I have one other thing
Knocked a couple
of
people
to
down,
say.
Too, did Bevo.
I am totally creeped out, and I hope they're not a sponsor ever.
They won't be after this, I'm guessing.
I am totally creeped out by the Dr. Pepper commercials, the Fansville commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I hate them. I loved it when they had that guy who had soda on a tray. Right. I thought those were all good.
You don't like the fake town?
I really don't.
The refs moving in next
very
door?
Very creepy. They're very creepy commercials, and I will not drink Dr. Pepper.
So their agency would probably be distressed to hear that, because I'm pretty sure you're the demo target. You're the target demo for
Dr. Pepper?
70 to dead?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Wait a minute. We're not reaching that guy? We're doing something wrong.
Michael, did I bring this up yesterday?
We spent about 10 minutes after a round of golf looking into the history of the company, its place in the soda hierarchy.
I don't like these at all.
It's a Pepsi product, am I right? Dr. Pepper?
Well, not in Europe.
Yes, not in Europe.
Remember the jingle?
It was an independent player for a long time.
I'm a Pepper, you're a
Pepper.
Yes,
wouldn't you like to be a Pepper, too?
I'd like to be a Pepper, too. I like the other... This,
and Dr. Pepper will help you make great ribs.
Keep it interessante. There is nothing good about that.
That's truly terrible.
It's awful. You will not drink that beer if you watch
this. You can do a Dr. Pepper brisket,
I don't know why, but I'm amused by these little stories. The Dr. Pepper strip. I don't know why, but for some reason it makes me laugh.
Don't like them.
I guess I'm the only one in the room that likes these ads.
Let's get out of here. We will have Jason Luckin for CBS when we return, who I understand his dog is better.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe Copper went out for a walk at the very end of 2018.
That's great. That's great. Twitter.
All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is really my favorite ad, because while all of it is true for you, particularly if you like tools, none of it is true for me, because I can't even put scotch tape on a piece of paper. I have skills, absolutely no skills, which is why I like this, because it asks me to say that Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I can explore the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform. Michael, I've often asked for a battery platform, haven't I?
Every year.
Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high-capacity lithium battery that's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system, so it works with all tools in their V20 lineup, giving you the runtime you need and the power you deserve. The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and versatile. V20 brushless power tools are proudly made in the United States with global materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. All have brushless motors delivering high efficiency, better runtime, more power, and greater durability for all your projects. And let me emphasize your projects, because for my projects, I call a worker man. Because I'll just ruin my house. I'm not that
That's
stupid.
The way to go.
And I love Craftsman. I mean, we know the people who originally owned Craftsman.
Yes, we do.
The Rails brothers. So we love Craftsman. You can explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store or visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony. Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman.
Best read of the year, boss.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us from Bo Gray, who says, this is Bo Gray, lead singer and guitarist from Lexington Field. My brother Derek reached out to you guys about playing a song on your show for my dad, Rick Gray, who lives in Las Vegas and is a huge fan of the show. A little background on Lexington Field. We're a fiddle rock band based out of San Diego. We've been a band for nearly 10 years, played over 400 shows, including 3 national tours, released 4 full-length albums and 3 EPs. This year we released 2 new albums, our 4th full-length record, called Dreamers, and our 3rd career EP called Modern Times. This is called Diego Nights, and this is from Dreamers.
Yes.
And we are so happy when people send us their music. So happy.
Absolutely.
Jason Locken, 4 of CBS, joins us now. And let's get dog news. There was an Instagram or a Facebook sighting of Copper walking. Yes?
Yes. Yes. It was not my face, Bill Belichick's favorite social media platform. It was just Twitter. I'm actually not on Instagram.
Okay.
I probably should be on Instagram, I guess.
I'm not.
The kids are on Instagram. Yeah, Tone, we're allowed to do like 10-minute walks once a day, and then we build it up from there. So apparently, as long as this continues to go well, every couple weeks we can go a little longer, and then from what I'm told, we don't have to go back to the orthopedic as long as this continues to progress. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, if I were to say that word that started with W right now,
don't.
You would go crazy and be
yes.
ready to go. So
don't. No, that's very.
So
good.
I don't know if that means we bring it back. I don't know if that you have to tell me what that means for my accent. But
well, your accent is gone until the dog is fully
100%
fully healed. So that might.
So
year.
Maybe we table that for the rest of this football season, don't you think?
Yes, I would certainly.
So are we done then? Or are you going to still talk to him?
What no, I'm going to still talk
to
him.
Just making
no,
sure.
I'm still going to talk to him. Let us look at overview, a little bit of overview now that the season is complete. Oh, I forgot to do the lead-in. I'm sorry. It's time for NFL Cleanup, sponsored by the Purell brand, the new Purell Singles. So that's good because I'm actually doing cleanup on aisle 5 here because I've got two questions. You can take them in either order. The biggest positive surprise in the season and the biggest disappointment in the season as far as you're concerned?
Biggest positive surprise. Nick Foles saving another season just seems too good to be true. I watched him in the preseason and watched him play the first couple weeks when Carson Wentz was hurt, and anybody else I talked to in the league who watched as well was like, I don't even know if this guy's going to get a contract next year. You know,
right?
Like this might be it. Like, he might be cool just wearing the ball cap and holding this clipboard as long as the Eagles let him, and he can watch Carson Wentz get back in an MVP race at some point. And for him to get back in the playoffs the way they have, I mean, I you can talk about Minnesota's collapse and all that, and rightfully so, but. How many times did we think the Philadelphia Eagles were absolutely done this season?
Yes.
And to do it this way, with that guy playing that well, it's kind of mind-boggling to me. Biggest disappointment, I thought that the Jaguars would regress to the mean. I thought they would fall back significantly to the pack. I didn't think they'd fall all the way under the pack, get trampled over by the rest of the AFC, and then have their response to it be, oh, nothing really to see here. We're going to change up our offensive staff, but Marone, you're good. You know, Dave Caldwell, even though we picked in the first round, 10 straight years, and we got maybe one blue chip player out of all that, you're good too. Tom Coughlin, yeah, man, you keep being you. Just keep doing what you're doing. And even though the rest of the division's getting better and the rest of the conference is getting better and we're $35 million over the cap and we're about to gut our defensive roster, and we still don't have a quarterback, and everybody's a year older.
Yeah.
No, nothing to see here. We're good. We're fine.
That's interesting. So, because I think what I'd written down, biggest positive surprise, I would have said the Cleveland Browns, but I think you're probably right that the Eagles, where they were in the middle of the season getting the playoffs, and biggest disappointment, I would have said Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, I would have said them. So.
No, and they would be way up there. Absolutely. And as I was talking about Foles, and that dovetailed with the Vikings, I was thinking that as well. But I'm still waiting to see what they do. Like, is there some market correction? You know, Kevin Stefanski, he's going to interview for at least the Browns' head coaching job. You know, he's the young coordinator they promoted in the middle of the year because Mike Zimmer can't go through a season without firing an offensive coordinator. You know, I still feel like Minnesota maybe the rubber hits the road there a little bit, and maybe there is some outward messaging and a sign that, you know what, we're not who we pretended to be, and we got to change things to get there. I think Jacksonville, with the statement that Shad Khan put out literally like 30 seconds after the season ended,
yes,
that they're like wrapping themselves in it. Like, no, we still know better than you. No, don't believe what you've seen, you know, every year when we lose 10 games. We're still really, really close. And we don't need to change anything of significance except, you know, we're going to fire Scott Milanovich and replace him with Daryl Bevel. Okay.
So I'm going to go to the head coaches that have been fired, and I'm going to say what I said the other day. and it's going to lead into a question, which is I will make the case for the Arizona coach being let go too early. I will make no case for any other coach being let go too early. I will make it for Arizona. But the overarching question for me, and maybe I'm wrong with this perception, why is it so hard to work for John Elway? Why does it seem...
You're not wrong at all.
You know,
this will now be his fourth coach since he let John Fox go after a fairly long playoff run in 2015. I mean, we're talking like 4 years now, right?
What is this?
He is very headstrong. He has very high standards, and he can be, you know, pretty abrasive. Oh, and by the way, he's really not a very good GM. Go look at his draft since Brian Zanders, their former personnel chief, left the building. They fell off a cliff. It's not the same. And his ability to pick a quarterback other than Peyton Manning, who, let's face it, Peyton Manning picked John Elway. John Elway didn't pick Peyton Manning.
That's exactly
five
right.
Five teams chasing Peyton Manning. He decided where he wanted to go. And Elway inherited that roster. The rest of it hasn't been peachy. And look, Gary Kubiak, even that situation there, I mean, yeah, it was health with Kubiak, but, like, it was also health of their relationship. And you know what? Like, I don't want to – we've been lifetime friends. And if we keep doing this by – you know, the first game of next season, I'm going to really hate you and you're going to really hate me. So maybe I'll just try to help you in personnel rather than have this coach, you know, me working for you dynamic as your head coach continue because it's not working. You know, Vance Joseph, he really wanted to fire Vance Joseph last year. He was pretty open about it after the fact and told numerous people in that building, yeah, I think we need to blow this up. Those same people thinking, wait a minute, you were the only guy in America who thought Vance Joseph was ready to be a head coach anyway. Like, Now you want to fire him 11 months later? Yes, Tone, I would agree with your overall sentiment that this was in the air for most of these guys, and you could see why it happened. Steve Wilkes, I think there's a lack of institutional there was a lack of sort of any sort of institutional incubators that would have given him any chance to succeed. Starting with, he goes into his first training camp with the general manager in jail and then suspended by the league.
It's just, yeah,
for
it's
extreme
awful.
DUI. You know what I mean?
It's just
and
awful.
He's not the guy who said, yeah, let's give Sam Bradford $20 million. He's the answer. And he's not the guy who passed on all these quarterbacks the last 2 years. And then Rosen's the last one there, or at least in their mind, the last one there. They could have had Lamar Jackson. But no, they trade up for Rosen, you know, because they sort of hedged their bets and weren't willing to go in big or big enough on, you know, the other guys who went in the top 10. Yeah, now, look, some of the things he did are on him as well, but he was put in a position to fail as far as I'm concerned.
Let me ask about a fairness question here, and I'm going to ask you because it affects you directly because you live in Baltimore. Is it fair to ask the Chargers to go 3,000 miles for a playoff game and play a 1 o'clock game, which is 10 o'clock on their body clock, against, you know, one... I would say that right now the Colts and the Ravens are the two hottest teams. Is that fair? Is that fair, really?
Yeah, I don't understand the nuance of some of this. I had continually heard that the AFC windows were the two early windows. I don't know exactly how and why that is. I don't know if that's
nobody wants to watch
that market thing.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it's because of other programming that either Fox or us at CBS were locked into.
Yeah.
But I had sort of continually heard that. And let's face it, they're trying to serve four masters here. And, you know, NBC is going to get the primetime game, so you're going to put a big market team there. You know what I mean? Let's be real. And the way it's worked out in recent years, I even asked about this. I'm told that ESPN is not contractually locked into that 4:30 Saturday game, but it seems like the last 3 or 4 years that's been their game.
Sure.
And that's always the kind of least sexy game.
100% least sexy
game. It's up against other stuff. So now you're really only down to two options. You know, could it have been the late one instead? I guess, you know, I mean, it could, but I guess maybe you're thinking at least it's a Sunday and rather than a Saturday because, they're more used to having to play it to their body clock
right.
at 10 a.m.
Right.
on a Sunday than they are a Saturday. No, and it is kind of ironic because the last time they played on that Thursday night, you know, things were set up with the Chargers, I think, on the Saturday night in L.A., the Chargers were coming off a pronounced rest because they hadn't played, I think, since a Thursday.
10 days.
And Baltimore was on the short week, and you're like, man, they got to go all the way out to L.A. and blah, 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 blah. And they won. So I don't know. It should be a heck of a football game. I go back and forth on how I think it will play out. Do I think it's completely fair? No. But I don't think it's endemic to the Chargers. I tend to think this kind of thing happens every couple of years.
I will tell you what I think is great about the NFL, and whoever is in charge of this is brilliant, that all the games on the last Sunday are divisional games.
Yes.
Which means that even if there's nothing out there, there is something out there because you hate that team. Whosever idea that is that's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I think Howard Katz, who is sort of the mastermind behind the NFL's broadcasting and scheduling wing, probably had something to do with that. I remember they really implemented that, I want to say, about 5 years ago or so.
It's just great.
Where they made that push that the first 3 weeks would have a fair amount, would have a preponderance of division games, and then coming down the stretch, absolutely would as well. And I agree, it works well. That spoiler thing is pretty interesting. I mean, even that Steelers-Bengals game, I mean, they
terrific.
Were late into that game. It was like, my God, terrific. The Steelers actually going to blow this one, too.
Yeah, no, I love that. All right, so we'll look at the team Seattle at the Cowboys, the Colts at the Texans. They've played twice this year already.
Yeah.
The Chargers at Baltimore, they've played, and the Bears and the Eagles. Of all of those teams, do you see one team where you would go, if they win the Super Bowl, I get it?
I mean, I could make the case for a bunch of those teams.
Really?
I think Seattle, I think people still sleep on them. I think there's some inherent bias against them. And I don't know if it's a Russell Wilson bias just because, you know, he's a small quarterback and some people just won't let that go. I don't know if it's just because they play out there in Canada or whatever, or down here in Canada. But, my goodness, they've been mauling people for weeks. And you've got a combination. I mean, that head coach-quarterback combination is about as good as it gets. I don't think that they're scared of any of these teams. I mean, they played L.A. really tough twice. I mean, could L.A. beat them three times? I don't know. I think if they win this game, and I think they will, you know, going to the Superdome and beating New Orleans, okay, maybe not, but, like, I don't know that I would pick anybody to do that right now. But I think Seattle could go on a real run. And I think the Chargers, if they do overcome this one, and if Melvin Gordon gets a little healthier along the way, they were the most balanced team in football down the stretch in the second half of the season, and they've been the best road team in the NFL, and even their home games are road games.
Yes.
So, if they pulled it off in the AFC, I wouldn't be stunned. And Baltimore, I mean, they've won what, 6 of 7
at least,
and even the one they lost,
I thought it was 7 of 8.
Took Mahomes, completing a 4th and 9, and then a 4th and 3, and then beating them in overtime. I mean, it's real. They're pummeling people. They hold. If they have the ball the whole game, you can't really win, or your margins become incredibly slim. And if Lamar, gets through this first playoff game and shakes some of those playoff nerves off, because this is going to be different, could they go to New Orleans? I mean, to New England and road grade them? Absolutely. Could they get after Tom Brady if he's held down to 35 to 40 offensive plays and they blitz on a bunch of them? I know he's great against the blitz in general, but I think they could. I totally think they could beat New England. And then after that, who knows? They went to Arrowhead, and it took overtime to beat them. So I think it's as wide open of a playoff as we've seen in a while, Tony.
That's great. I hope it is, because I look forward. I really look forward to the next 2 weeks. All right, plug your podcast for us, Jason.
Tone, we will be very Raven-centric this week, as you might have surmised, with Lamar Superstar leading the Ravens to a postseason that nobody would have thought was coming at their bye. We'll dissect their chances against the Chargers, their chances for a long playoff run, and we'll also take the temperature of the city and see if people really have finally started to buy into this and start to treat this Lamar Jackson thing the way I think it should be treated, which is one of the more unique, pretty wild sports phenomenons we've had in this city in a long time. So check us out, the Be More Opinionated podcast, on the web, www.bmoshow.com, on iTunes and all those other places you get podcasts.
And we're glad that Copper is getting better.
Yes.
And
I'm rubbing his belly right now.
When he's fully better, you can go into your Baltimore accent. Yeah, thank you,
talking
Jason.
Talking about you, buddy. They're talking. Mr. Tony's talking about you, Choppers.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Okay, see you guys next week. Thank you.
We got some love.
Jason Locke and Fora, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And this is the full 60-second Purell ad. Cold and flu season is here, just in time for the holidays, no less. We're traveling more, catching up with friends and family, the whole nine yards. And when we're connecting with so many people every day, it's easy to spread these seasonal illnesses. And that's why I use Purell products, including new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets. These new single-use packets are super portable, super convenient, and they kill more than 99.99% of most common germs that can make you sick. Purell is the brand that hospitals trust most to keep patients safe from infection, and the same germ-fighting formula that doctors use goes into every Purell Singles packet. The best part is they go everywhere. You grab a handful, you put them in your car, you throw a few in your pocket before you leave home. They're individually sealed, there's no mess, and each pocket has the exact amount of sanitizer recommended by the CDC. And who knows more about cold and flu season than the CDC. So as we head into the new year, do yourself a favor and stock up on new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets on Amazon. And right now there's a special offer to the listeners of this high-quality podcast. Go to www.purell.com/TonyK. That's www.purell.com/TonyK. It will link you directly with Amazon and our new four-pack of Purell Singles. Just type in this site, and it will take you to the product page where you will receive at least 10% off of this great new product. They can help you stay healthy and get the most out of every day. Your well-being is important. Protect it with America's number one hand sanitizer brand. Don't forget, head to www.purell.com/TonyK to get your Purell Singles on Amazon today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
For the second time today, Lexington Field plays us in. This is called Tracy Boys Know How to Party. This is from an EP called Modern Times. Again, this is a San Diego band, a fiddle rock band out of San Diego. Lexington Field. Michael, if people who have music like Lexington Field want to send it to us, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And are we selling anything in this brand new year of 2019?
New year, we're taking the first few days off, Tony, 2019. Off to a slow start.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. We had a great month, though, in the shop for December.
I wanted to mention this. Downstairs at Chatter, we had as many as 4 pictures on the wall. Now we have 2, which leads me to believe people are stealing them. Just simply stealing them.
Downstairs, you mean in the bathroom?
Yeah, in the bathroom. In the area. No, in the hallway. Oh, yeah.
Like the frame.
Yeah. There's a picture of the Beatles crossing Abbey Road.
Yeah.
Is that gone?
Well, I don't know if that one's gone. There was a picture of John Waltz gone.
I am very sorry. I thought those were complimentary. I just figured they were like party favors.
Someone's stealing them.
How do they get them out of here?
They just take them and stick them. I don't know.
Put it in your pants. It's like 4 by 6 feet.
We got to start frisking everybody.
Don't do this. Don't steal this.
Yeah, don't steal it.
I had something before we got to the news. I wanted to mention one thing that I neglected to talk about in my earlier comments on college football. The NFL should adopt the college football pass interference rule. They should stop giving people the ball on the 1 yard line.
Right,
they should make
15.
Them earn a touchdown. Yeah. They should just make it a 15 yard penalty from the line of scrimmage, first down, and keep going. That is a better rule, don't you think?
Couldn't agree more.
Better rule.
Yeah.
Because you just throw it up for grabs.
Right, then you get 65 yard play or whatever it is. Yeah.
So, anyway, okay, you have news, Nigel.
There's more people here. There's a buzz.
We have some more people.
A little late.
They wandered
late
in.
Push.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nigel.
No, that's all right. Mr. Tony, we'll start off with college basketball. Want to alert you to make sure you set your TVs tonight for the big matchup between the Bearcats of Binghamton.
Oh, who are we playing?
Columbia. Columbia Lions. Okay. Yes. Now, this is not a league game, even though league play will start for you soon.
Like Lion Ted Cruz, the Lions?
Yes, I believe that's exactly the name. Ted Cruz, the Lions. The ESPN matchup predictor gives Binghamton a 37.5% chance of winning.
Ooh. That doesn't mean they think they're going to win.
No, it doesn't mean, but it gives you hope, doesn't it?
It's good.
Yes.
Good. Ivy League, it's fair.
Ivies are good this year.
Yeah, the Ivies are pretty good.
Columbia, not good. 3-9, 0-5. On the road, and this game is at the Dr. Bailey Court.
Then we've got a chance. We are 4-10. We are 2-10 against D1 opponents.
Yes.
Columbia's a D1 opponent, so we'd like to win that game.
But 3-4 at home. That's where you guys are really tough.
Wow.
Yes. That's difficult.
Let's go Binghamton. Let's go.
Nobody comes like to our house.
Michigan, Columbia.
You said we get to this this bowl game, the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl between the Wildcats of Northwestern and the Utah Utes.
They were down, I think, 20-3 at the half. Wilson had pretty much given up. Thought there was no chance. They scored four touchdowns in the third or fourth quarter. They won
third quarter.
Yeah. Northwestern won that game, after which Pat Fitzgerald, the coach, who has, you know, been linked to the possibility of going to the NFL with the Packers, he said, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm a Wildcat for life." So that's good. So that's,
let's hope that ages well. That may or may not age well.
Let's hope that's not Urban Meyer.
Life is a long time. Did you, before he leaves from college football, did you want to talk about the records, or were you saving that?
That's in here. Yeah. Okay. What I was curious about was how the conferences have done. The Power Five conferences, which are the ACC, the
five
Big
and five.
Ten. ACC is 5-5. Big Ten.
5-4.
Pac 12.
3-4. Big 12, 4-3.
SEC.
6-5.
So nobody's running away.
No, the only conference that is more than a game over 500, even including the independents and all the others, is Conference USA, who finished at 4-2. Now, SEC has a chance because you still have Bama Clemson.
Right.
They could finish at 7-5. But everyone right around 500.
Okay. How did the America East do?
We don't have any football.
Yeah, I'm not sure about
so
that.
So you're undefeated. That's very nice.
That's right, undefeated and untied.
Technically.
Mr. Tony, the Washington Wizards will put their one-game win streak on the line tonight when they host the Atlanta Hawks. But they'll do it without, obviously, John Wall, who's gone for the rest of the season. They will have Otto Porter back in the lineup, who's coming back from a strained quad.
Last year, when John Wall missed a lot of time, the Wizards were better than you thought.
That's right.
Because they understood they were missing this particular guy. And they rallied around each other, and they were better than you thought. They're not as good as they could be. I'm not trying to say that, but they were better than you thought. Atlanta's a terrible team.
Right.
So I...
Let me add...
Satoransky distributes the ball. He's not a scorer, but he distributes the ball.
I was
going to
add
just
specifically the ball, which had become very sticky last year with John Wall in the lineup. And that hasn't really been a problem this year.
Nope.
Got distributed way more effectively with John Wall.
Who was the guy that Wall got rid of in the offseason?
Martin Gortat.
Yeah, didn't Gortat say, yeah, we're really playing great?
Yeah, that's why he got rid of him.
Exactly. Yes.
He got angry and he got rid of him.
Yes. Yeah. The Winter Classic, Mr. Tony.
I didn't know it was being played.
Yes. New Year's Day.
Same day every year.
Yeah. The Bruins against the Blackhawks at Notre Dame, the football stadium. It was lovely.
How was it?
It was
Did
beautiful.
You watch it all?
I watched some of it. It was beautiful.
It's always beautiful.
It is. It's a, you know, you can't do it all the time. But it's a wonderful thing when they have it, and I completely
brings you back
it.
To your Pee Wee hockey days, just playing out on
the
playing out
on the frozen pond.
The pomp and circumstance surrounding the pre-faceoff festivities, and I have an issue with the way the NFL sort of wraps itself in the flag, and I will never knock the NHL on tradition. I think they get tradition. They do tradition well. They marched these guys, both teams, essentially all around campus in their skates, walking them into the stadium. I thought it was really cool. I reached out to Coach Poling to see if he was there. I'm not even sure if they were back in town. I know he's a big hockey fan. It looked beautiful. It looked like
it's outdoors.
Beautiful, and it is. It's cool.
It looked beautiful when it was here. It's outdoors.
Do you know?
Well, when it was here, it was a disaster, though. It was like
a
foggy
mess.
But that was a beautiful day.
Yes.
Actually,
it looks beautiful.
Do you know what it is next year?
No,
at the Cotton Bowl.
Is that right?
No, seriously.
Jerry World?
And it's going to be at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, how can they have it outdoors?
Seems like it would be a bit warm.
They can open the roof, right?
Is Miami next after this? Maybe Havana?
Well, how can you do it?
I don't know.
It's just stupid.
It's not the same.
Dry ice.
Yeah.
Put it outdoors where it ought to be.
Make it up, you know, in
Michigan.
Should
be outdoors in the cold.
Yeah, make it in Maine. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I don't know that they have anything in Maine.
No, probably not.
I don't know.
Stephen King and bears, I think, is all they've got up there.
I think that's really nice. What else you got?
Mr. Tony, some tennis. The Hopman Cup, which is some sort of tennis competition going on.
Named for Harry Hopman.
Is it?
Or Ari Upman.
Ari Upman, as we like to say.
Yeah. Harry Kane.
Harry Kane.
This featured a match for the first time in a mixed doubles match that had Roger Federer facing off against Serena Williams. And Federer
And but it's mixed doubles. It wasn't. Yes. It wasn't like King and Ricks.
Yes, but Federer could not return her serve in the first game that they played against each other. And obviously, they both were gushing at the end of this, saying, "Wow, this was so
great."
What
do you mean, as a rule, or he was incapable of?
Incapable
it?
Of.
Okay.
Yes, and wasn't
thank
playing with like one hand behind his back. Was just
the chivalry's not dead.
Yes, it was really good.
Was there glorification of them like there was of Urban Meyer?
I don't think so, but obviously they were both pleased to be playing against one another.
Good for them.
Yes, the Swiss won that, and they advanced onto the finals. The U.S. lost to Greece on Monday, so now they can't advance any further. Sorry for that.
I didn't know that there were any Greek tennis players. No. I thought they only produced basketball
players. Oh, yeah, there's a kid. Oh, God, he played at the City Open. I forget what his name is.
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I don't think that's him. I'll have to look his name up, but he's a brilliant
player. So
the partner of
Serena Williams, you should mention his name.
Francis Tiafoe.
He's the local kid.
Oh,
yeah.
Local kid, yeah. Yeah. He had not fared well in a singles match against Federer. Federer beat him in less than an hour.
Well, because
that's Roger Federer.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So.
That's perfectly okay. Melissa Mollet's on TV. I wonder if she's excited about the snow.
Do we have
if she's
snow?
Excited. Michael, didn't you say there's not going to be snow for a while?
Not in 2019.
Gary, could you look
this
at
this? This is 2019.
Kevin's forecast.
Give me a second. I'll pull it up and we'll get you there. I hope everyone fared okay in the snow to ice of New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That Kevin forecast.
If you were flying last night from Cleveland to Tampa, Mr. Tony.
I don't like to fly.
I just
flew. I'm going to talk about this later. But I don't like to.
But you would get on an airplane.
I have recently.
Would you? But I'm guessing you probably would not get on this airline's Frontier Airlines.
Sure, I would. Frontier is a fine airline. Of course, I'd get on Frontier.
Okay.
Once you had alerted the top brass that you were going to be there and that they would escort you along the plane and introduce you to the pilot.
Well, apparently on Frontier Airlines
flight. And put me in the club. Yeah.
On flight 1397. A bunch of people may have been drinking from a water fountain in Cleveland that may have gotten them sick because at least six passengers fell ill and began vomiting during the flight. Now, this is the phrase I want to read to you because this is how it's written by the Associated Press. The sick passengers were removed by the time the plane landed.
Huh? How is that possible?
The sick passengers were removed. Now, I don't want to criticize the Associated Press because they never get things wrong.
I thought United handled things poorly.
Well, I was going to say, unless the Associated Press.
They
Associated
just tossed Press, them. They just simply tossed
get
them.
Out.
But then, how about this?
D.B. Cooper.
The other passengers were held on the plane for another hour.
Why?
Ooh.
I guess just to sort of see
disinfect
what was going on.
Them.
Yeah,
quarantine.
I don't know. But would you want to be on the plane that people had vomited on for another hour? I'm guessing
I will say, I have been on turbulent flights that have made people sick, not food sick. And it can be sort of like that Monty Python skit. It can be sort of contagious when a lot of people are getting sick in close quarters.
This apparently was not turbulent. This was,
they think it was a contaminated bubbler or water fountain, as you may call it.
By the way, the definitive upcoming forecast, according to Kip Sheeman, January 7th, an Alberta Clipper, 1 to 3 inches here in the 20015, right. And it will remain cold to mid-month.
It's supposed to be a high of about 42 that day, coming off of the high 50s on Sunday.
I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
And Mr. Tony, we'll take you down.
By the way, I don't like this look on Channel 4. I don't like the
cash,
news people
the casual
without
more
ties. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Put on a dress like an adult.
Objection, Your Honor, relevance.
Dress like an adult.
Exactly.
Well, the great thing
the
is we know
station you own. You mean Channel 4?
Yeah. Dress like an adult.
I wonder if there'll be some sort of
dress
response
like
from them.
Yeah, you know, come on. I mean, the next thing is T-shirts. We don't want this.
It's a slippery slope.
Just, what is casual Wednesday? Casual
tank.
2019?
Tank
put
top.
On a tank top.
Yeah, tank top, flip flops.
Let's see the news guy in a tank top.
Yeah.
Let's see how that people
that'd
like that.
What was that shirt that you saw that woman wear with the F word all over it? Wear that.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Showed up to clean the house.
Right? Mr. Tony, we'll take you down to Louisiana, a St. James Parish man. By the name of Brandon J. Ingham, went to a parking lot where he thought he was going to sell 10 pounds of wild deer sausage for $60 to a buyer inside of a Winn-Dixie parking lot. Unfortunately, this was a sting operation. Wildlife and fisheries agents had been investigating Ingham over allegations that he was illegally selling the wild game. So when they converged on him, he jumped in his car, smashed into one of the sheriff's deputies' car, and led them on a high-speed chase where he was finally caught and arrested And then they went and searched his house. I'm going to tell you what they found.
In his house?
In his house. His Vacherie home at three... Well, I won't give his address
out. Yes, please.
Well, it's in the paper, so, you know, it's people will find out. They turned up 10 cleaned raccoon carcasses in a black garbage bag, 3 unmarked packages of deer sausage, 3 packages of vacuum-sealed fish fillets, and 1 Ziploc bag of unknown meat. And, of course, we've received unknown meat from China, so we understand how that goes.
Who ate that eventually? Unknown I can't even remember.
A search of his second home also turned up a mixed package of fish fillets.
Well, he's doing well. He has
shrimp.
A second home.
Yes.
He's got 2 homes.
Exactly.
Well, a vacation home.
He was buying the deer meat and raccoons from a seller in Mississippi to resell in Louisiana, obviously, marking them up. He also acknowledged that he was also trying to sell blue crabs without a license, which I didn't realize you required a license. So, but the good news for Mr. Ingham...
So was he selling the raccoon meat as raccoon meat?
No.
Or was it like cheap filler, like skate wing for scallop type deal?
It sounds like he was maybe mixing it with the deer.
He might have been making the sausage with the deer and the raccoon, I'm not sure.
God.
But was clearly, making a bit of a profit. Enjoy your eggs, everybody.
Yeah.
But he was just left with probation. The judge said, all right, I think you've learned your lesson. We're going to leave you off with a fine and a probation.
He crashed into a cop car trying to get away.
Yes. Yeah. Gave him a 5-year prison sentence for the aggravated flight and assault counts, 6 months each for the counts of the wildlife and fishery.
Guys, but then suspended Joe Arpaio.
Yeah, in favor of probation.
So, all right.
All's well that ends well.
All right, we're out of here. We're out of here on news. That was a good news thing. We will have Old Guy Radio when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. These are the Beatles. This is the two of us. This is John and Paul with a song that I not only have loved for 55, 60 years, whatever it is, since they made it, but that I always thought was about them. I always thought this was an autobiographical song on the occasion, basically, of their realization that our lives were going in different directions now, and we wanted to say goodbye to each other and express our love for each other, and you tell me no.
Apparently, it's a song about Paul and Linda. And Linda talked about this, that they used to, when they would get back from New York and they'd go to London, they'd say, let's just drive and get lost, and they would sort of, just go on the road, two of us. And then at one point, Paul said, well, I've got the songs. She walked around.
Got a napkin?
5 minutes later, this song came out. But this is
a lovely song.
We played really this like because it was on this day in 1969, 50 years ago, that the Beatles went into the studio to start recording for the Let It Be project.
Yeah.
And this song, it's the very famous argument between Harrison and McCartney when Harrison's like, well, if you don't want me to play at all, I won't, Paul. I'll do whatever you want to please.
But it's not like with the Eagles. Where Glenn Frey said, I'm coming to get you.
Smack you in the mouth.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
So, there you go.
All right, it's 2019, and the first thing you have to do is you have to change your checkbook around, right? You have to, I don't know if everybody is like me. When the year ends, I change the register completely because I want to know what I've written in the current count.
Oh, interesting.
You don't do that?
I don't do it that way, no. But that makes sense.
Do you do that?
No.
I don't balance a checkbook.
Yeah, what's a check?
Yeah, well, that's.
I take the check registers, even if I only have 2 in them, because I only went over by 2 in the calendar year, and I put the checkbooks, the registers away, so that I can use them for income tax purposes, so that I can refer to them easily, and then you don't do this?
Do you have like a binder, like a desktop checkbook?
No. No, I have regular small checkbooks.
Okay, so I don't have
that.
So I have a binder.
Oh, you have a giant one?
So I can just go flip, 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 flip. I don't need to.
So you never change?
No.
You just continue year after year after year after year? I don't do that. And I stop and I make notations as to what is the last number check I have written in the calendar year.
Do you update the list of people you hate?
No.
You don't do that as
the same 10 people for 30 years.
Like changing the battery in a smoke detector?
No.
Someone's off the list. It's like the naughty and nice list.
But this is a man who doesn't use an ATM who goes
I'm
to
afraid
the bank.
Of him. I go to the bank and ask for money.
To the bank. Yeah.
So, no, I do that's that. I have to do that today.
Okay.
Because I didn't write any checks yesterday, but I have to do that
it's
today.
A busy day for
would you
are
ever
there
try,
things that you do?
Would you try cashing a check through your cell phone?
No, never. I would never do that.
Really?
Let me ask you a question. Okay, are you telling me that if I do that, the money will miraculously appear in my cell phone?
You mean depositing a check?
Deposit a check through your cell phone into your account.
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't want them to get that much information on me. those people. I just don't. I don't order things online. I'm very reluctant to order things online.
Well, that's getting wiser and wiser, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. What do you do differently for year to year?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I don't think. No. I, like,
you don't have ceremonies?
Well, I do.
I have ceremonies.
I do take.
Very ritualistic.
I've got this filing system, you know.
I went yesterday to buy a whole new, I went to Staples. After I played golf with Michael, I had a really nice day with Michael. Then I went to Staples. I bought a planner. You know, I bought whatever week by week.
Like a weekly planner?
Yeah.
That you write
in? You know, wow. Yes, I write every day. Wow. Do you know what that costs?
Yes. Let me guess. I'm going to guess $24.99.
I would have said somewhere around $20. It was $37.
Okay, their attitude is, if you're stupid enough to still need this, you will pay anything for
exactly.
it. We need to introduce you to like Google Calendar or something.
$37 for it. I got it in purple.
But price per day, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good point.
And
it's like an 8.5 by 11
Do you make notes
notebook?
Every day? In your?
Yeah. I mean, electronically, I keep a Google Calendar for
what happens.
For
what
work
happens
and
if
for
the
family
Russians
and for
hack
personal.
Your machine?
I mean, I assume they all have it. I don't keep any truly personal info
there.
Paper. It's just my schedule.
I have paper. It's in my house.
Well,
can't hack my
for
paper.
For each year, I have a file, a big file in a like box. And so when I start to get January bills that I'm paying it for 2019, I will throw out the 2011 files because I won't need them for tax purposes.
2011?
I mean, yeah.
2011 is 8 years ago.
Well, you need them for like 7 years or something.
But you need them for 7 years.
Yeah, like
you do?
You're susceptible to
I thought you only needed it for 3 years.
No,
I believe it's 7 years.
Ooh,
that's probably.
No,
so then I throw those out and take that old folder and recycle it for 2019.
Do you shred them?
No.
You just throw them out?
Yeah.
No, I believe in shredding.
I must
you
say,
like,
the,
you like the process
and
of shredding?
I like the finality of shredding.
Right.
And
things.
I say this as someone who likes beer, so I have a little bit of a Brett Kavanaugh thing myself. But it's very Brett Kavanaugh of you, the buying of the paper calendar.
Over at Squiggy's tonight.
Yeah, you're going to go lifting with PJ and Squee. And
well, when you go through your confirmation process, you'll have that right with you, you know?
Do you mind if I share a detail about you?
Go ahead.
You're describing this like a planner, like January 1, I'm going to walk Chessy, I've got PTI, I've got to call up Matt Kelleher at 11 on the way down. No, this is a diary.
It is.
You write a diary about everything that's happened
throughout
your day.
Oh, okay, so it's like a journal. It's not a daily planner.
It is a planner, but in the notes section, rather than like the quote, the daily tasks, he writes personal notes. And usually he looks at you as he's doing it. And he just has this little
smile.
Had a nice day
with Michael, played golf, had a couple of pars.
Okay, no, that makes more sense to me than keeping your personal schedule in like a paper.
January,
oh, no, I don't do that.
January 3rd, paper late delivered. See if I can get people flogged.
I don't like that. I know I don't like that. So I should talk about my flights because I took a couple of flights.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I took them on American, and I was able to reach out to someone at American, to Curtis Blessing, and he was, thank God, very, very nice to me and He arranged for me to be met at the airports. The difference in the Palm Beach airport, I went to Palm Beach, the difference in that airport and National is that Palm Beach is a much smaller airport, so they don't have an American club, you know, where you could sit. This is what I ask for. And I know Gene scoffs at this, but Gene has also flown long distances with me.
I have.
You know, and I ask for, could somebody please meet me at the curb when I get to the airport? Could you just please take me to where I have to go to register for the plane or get a boarding pass or give my luggage and stuff like that? Could you walk with me through security, get me I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then could you send me to a quiet place so I'm not sitting at the gate, you know, where I get particularly nervous and disturb other people. And then could I meet the pilots? Now, I don't think that that's extraordinary. And I'd like to believe, and in fact, in my conversations, and I have a person, I do have Jeannie Valentino at United, and I do have Anthony Black at Delta, now Curtis Blessing at American, which I think you're covered. Those are the three main airlines. You know,
Frontier.
That's not a main airline for me and not out of Cleveland. But my position is pretty simple. that maybe you're doing it for me because I've asked. I understand. But wouldn't you do it for anyone who asked? And invariably they say yes.
I imagine
this is
they
customer
would.
Service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. This is what they do. So
I mean, this is not just,
I'm not saying
just for those
carry
who might,
me through.
Right, for those who may be new to the
I
to
have
the podcast.
You through.
That is not a it's not a do you know who I am request. It's a these things bring me varying degrees of increased anxiety
yes.
in advance of the travel, and they would make me more
and
comfortable.
What I
and
I say
think
to
they
them,
probably would.
What I say to them all the time is, I'm going to warn you now, don't go down this rabbit hole with me. There's only pain and suffering for you down the road.
Right.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Tony. Don't do it. And they say, no, no, we can handle this. And then I start writing them a month in advance.
Yeah.
And I ask about the weather. And I say, is it okay to go? And all of these things. And I say, thankfully, they've been good. But I think that is the essence of customer service.
When we were leaving Oslo after the Lillehammer Olympics, I was hell-bent on getting out of there and getting to the airport early. So when we got to the airport early, I did something that threw Tony into a total panic. I changed my flight because there was a flight leaving do you remember that?
What are you doing?
At 10 o'clock
you
in the morning.
You got to fly with me.
As opposed to the flight that was leaving at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Right, well, you're like, I want to get
and
out.
And I'm sorry, you want to get out of there
yes.
early
yeah,
because
yeah,
there
dodge.
Are 5 million members of the media behind you who want to get on those flights. So I convinced him.
It's a complete betrayal, I felt.
To get on that
so
flight.
So he changed as well.
I had written all my things down.
So
I had prepared
yes.
my talismans
throws
and amulets.
Throws off the ritual.
Yes. Yeah. I.
But you remember, we were on the plane.
With Dan Jansen.
With Dan Jansen.
Yeah.
With the whole CBS crew.
Yep.
I think James Brown was on that plane.
Yep. Good
so
flight.
It was a good flight.
It was a good flight. The flights I took, the flight to Palm Beach and the flight back were tremendously smooth. And I want
good weather days?
Yes. I want a single, because I am willing to not go if it's bad weather. I will, what's the difference?
Right.
The podcast will be a day late, that I'll take a day off from PTI, so what? Paul and Lisa flew us down to West Palm Beach, and Tracy and Joe flew us back. Women pilots on both, mm-hmm. on both flights in the cabin. You know what I wish though, and they don't do this enough, and I am reluctant to say this. In other words, I don't want to tell a pilot what to do. I would never do that. Although I will say it on the air. I'll say it on the air as what I would say is I like when they talk to you a little bit more. I like when they say greetings from the flight deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when they talk to the passengers.
Yes,
you mean.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like
that's
when
reassuring.
When we're when we're on takeoff, when we're going up, and we get not to cruising
strictly
altitude.
Informational, or can they be doing a little shtick on the
side? Yeah, what you don't want is, well, my wife just left me and things don't look great.
No, I don't want that.
Don't want
but every once in a while, just come on and say, here's what's going on.
Well,
here's
if you look over the left wing, there's
let's see what this button
Little
does.
Rock.
Yeah, you
okay.
know.
You would
I
love
just,
the pilots on Air Italia. They give you far too much information.
I like information. If you bump a little bit, I'd like them to come on and say, we're going to try and find a little bit smoother air. By the way, most people don't notice the bumps. I, of course, think that the bumps are terrible. But I must say, I had two very smooth flights. I was very,
good.
Very grateful.
Did
happy.
You travel with the comfort animal, the mallard duck that you like to travel
did
with?
Not,
or no?
No, I did not. I did not. But in Palm Beach, for example, I had to sit, you know,
in the village?
Among the people?
I had to sit. You
that
know.
Doesn't seem right.
You mean waiting for the plane?
Waiting for the
yeah.
plane. But it was very, I was fine. The
you're
guy,
probably buried
the guy
in your
there,
phone
the guy David
anyway.
There, the guy David there said, you know, this area is very rarely crowded. We didn't go to the gates. So this area is very rarely crowded, and in fact, it wasn't crowded at all. It's very nice.
I'm surprised you don't pace. You sit.
I sit.
I would think you would pace.
I sit and I look straight ahead.
Somebody told you something. You shared this with me because I've not always been a great flyer. And when you hit that turbulence, I said it's just like a bump on the road.
It's
and that has brought me great comfort.
It is described
in
various ways as you're going over a dirt road in the country.
Yeah.
Or it is described as an actual literal ocean of air, and it's going to have waves and chop to it. The one thing I will say...
Captains or pilots have told you that?
Yes.
So none of them have said it's a pocket of empty air and we're falling out of the sky briefly until I can resettle?
No,
okay.
Thank you. Thankfully, nobody has
good.
Said that.
Well, they would know better than I. I'm just saying, I find that actually
and
interesting.
That I, you know, and they're very... I will... Pilots like to fly.
Yes.
They like to fly. And,
sure.
and what they'll tell you is that planes are built to fly.
Thank goodness.
I mean, that's their deal. They want to fly.
They do.
You know, I had a very interesting conversation with somebody in the medical profession recently who said that one of the things that medicine is learning, they're learning from the airline industry, which changed its whole mindset to stop thinking that the captain is God, to include people in the decision other than the captain. And the medical profession,
they don't do that,
needs to do that more.
Right.
So that your left leg doesn't get amputated instead of your right leg.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is big in certain cultures. I know Korean Air had a bunch of issues with this because they were so ingrained to recognize that hierarchy that they couldn't speak up when there were very clear issues at play. Mm-hmm. And this led to some big crashes. Mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully, I wasn't on those.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm very grateful. I mean, everyone makes fun of me, but I got on, and I got up, and I got down, and everything was fine. So it doesn't mean I want to go out tomorrow. You know, I don't want to be a pilot,
it
but
doesn't
I'm
mean that
for
those
pilots.
Of us back home weren't peppered with text messages and pleas for prayers.
For my plane.
That's right. And if you were Steve Gagnon or Tommy Heidenberger, you were getting a lot more than you were getting.
I'm sure.
Yeah, you were getting them every hour for days. All right, so we'll get out of here. I should talk about golf at some point, but not yet. We'll have, what will we have?
Email. Yes, John Fitzpatrick with a jingle for
I'm
us.
Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I plug my iPhone in. The cord goes in the wall. And I let it charge again and again. This Quip toothbrush line, it challenges my mind. Yeah, so I keep wondering, what does the battery do? If it's electric, then it ain't in my repertoire. Are there extension cords on those Tesla cars? This is a concept I'm just gonna eschew. I won't even listen to your explanation, cause I won't let reason trump my fixation. So I keep prattling on, stubbornly stay wrong. Can't learn something new. What does a battery do?
The brilliant John Fitzpatrick with a wonderful song explaining my position thoroughly. What does the battery do? Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports. Let me thank our sponsors today, Lowe's and Purell. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Michael, one of your golfers is here today.
I know. He needs to go back to school.
He said there's no school today.
Not for another couple days, I think.
Okay. From Sheldon Roseman in Capitol Hill. If and in a non-mold house in Dewey, the mold, the remediation of the mold.
Continues.
Wait till I give you the final tally on how much that cost. If Brian Arakpo was Jewish, do you think they would have shortened the time to find the promised land? Let me know, because he would have said, come on, man. What are we doing out here, man? Congratulations to Johnny and Heather on their wedding down in Sarasota. Michael sends me that note,
right? Beautiful.
I just showed up
through
the email.
Yeah. Okay. Johnny Fontaine. That's
open
fantastic.
Bar.
Kevin Dusing writes, I'm a 27-year-old millennial from Mukwonago, Wisconsin. I'm unfamiliar with that town. I recently had to go to the Apple store for Christmas shopping. I don't have a story. I just wanted to say I think our planet needs a plague. From Jay in Burke, please tell Chuck Todd that the answer is 1,000% over, and if I caught him changing the roles at my house, he'd have a new job hosting a new hit show, Meet the Fists. Chuck Todd finished 4-3. Chuck Todd and Jeff Ma had
fantastic,
big ends.
Great
big
regular
ends.
Season.
And so we will get them for the playoffs tomorrow or Friday.
Yes.
Now, we're going to have Reginald because the zoo is closed as part of the government shutdown, you know. Will you be able to get
you
in and see
Skype.
Reginald?
Can you Skype with him?
I didn't want to say, is Reginald staying with me for the time?
okay, good. So
Reuven Spolter in Yad Binyamin in Israel. One of my major accomplishments over the past year is the fact that my 13-year-old son has officially joined the ranks of the Littles. We share stories and sometimes we talk about the show. Today, though, was the highlight when he walked into my office and asked me, is Chris Saliza a man or a woman? Indeed, a great question. Edith Saliza.
The answer is yes.
From John Davidson in Richmond, Virginia. So now you have something else in common with Jason Alexander. He plays you in a sitcom. Then you get ladies' glasses like he did as George Costanza.
That's right. I was reminded via the Twitter machine.
I didn't remember that.
There was an episode where he had him, and when Kramer saw him, he said, good afternoon, madam. when he saw him.
Well, it says in the words of Jerry Seinfeld on that episode, "I don't know what to tell you, Elton."
Oh, okay. Right.
So they did look a little Elton Johnish.
That's true.
On you, yeah.
Is there
a Rocket Man?
Am I the only one who's ever? I just
not Little Rocket Man.
I needed to get glasses to get in the car.
We all understand that.
Yeah.
The part that you threw me is when you said you looked in the mirror, and I just thought at yourself.
I didn't. Okay. I guess I didn't see it.
Yeah.
From Bob Harbaum in Gaithersburg, if you're a right-handed passer, the toilet paper must be configured coming over the top of the roll from left to right so that when you throw it into your neighbor's trees, it unravels fully due to the right-hander's spiraling rotation. If you're a lefty, it should be coming over the top from right to left. Otherwise, it won't unravel at all. Information for life. 23456. Adam in Alexandria took a picture of his speedometer.
Oh, odometer. Odometer.
Really
odometer.
Fast.
Odometer. Nice.
Tim Cree in Fort Collins, Colorado. My wife
needs
made
gas.
It all the way until 9:45 in the morning on the first before dropping her first F-bomb.
There you go.
Happy 2019, everyone. That's like an Arch Campbell thing. What hole, when you play golf, at what point will Arch start screaming and cursing? That's usually one. From Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, last week I was driving on I-95 in West Palm. Me, I was too. I saw a vaguely familiar, prematurely orange man driving like Mr. Magoo, going 35 miles an hour on the interstate as all the other traffic zoomed by him. I glanced over, saw a man with rhinestone Elton John sunglasses. You know, this with these D-list celebrities. They all begin to look the same. Can you help me identify him? I am so serious about how fast they drive in Florida. On I-95, it's like five lanes, five or six.
It's enormous.
It's a wide body. That thing in the left, they're going 90. They're not kidding around. You don't want to have anything to do with it. Marcus in Phoenix. Good thing Wilbon got away from the 55-degree chill of D.C. and will eventually make it to Phoenix. Below is a fairway of the Wilbon-funded Desert Mountain Country Club. Not sure if this pic is from his house, as the caption didn't say it was at the intersection of Chicago Drive and Unsurprised Avenue. Bundle up, Mike. You'll be back to the warmth of D.C. in no time. Snow? Snow in Phoenix? Is that what that...
But it's a dry snow.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
It's the kind you want.
Perry Siebert in Ann Arbor. It was great to hear baby boy Bootsy on the New Year's Eve show with his whining and need for attention. He sounds ready to replace Saliza. The baby boy was great in here from Jim Tippett
fantastic.
In Olney, Maryland. Taken at the J.W. Marriott in Nashville, what would Chuck Todd do? Oh, it's toilet paper that's vertical.
Ooh.
It's vertical.
Oh. It's curveball.
Yeah. My daughter, quote, "Mom, your husband is so weird. Why is he taking pictures of the toilet paper?" If you're out on your bike, everyone, at night, do wear white.
Don't do it, Tony.
Thank you. Bye, Larry.
I remember the station wagon and trips